Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Saint Soter and Caius,
pray for us.
If you remain standing, I'll read to you this morning's Holy Gospel. That taken from Saint John. At that time, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene cometh early, while it was yet dark, to the sepulchre. And she saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She ran therefore, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre, and they both ran together. And that other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And when he stooped down, he saw the linen cloths lying, but yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but apart, wrapped up into one place. Then that other disciple also went in, who came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. As far as the words of the Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There are two lessons that come to us from this Holy Gospel that I read to you just today. And the first is this. Remember, as I told you yesterday, this whole week, this whole Easter week, the neophytes, those who were baptized on Holy Saturday, well, they're still in their white garments that they received after the waters of baptism were poured on their foreheads and cleansed their souls. So they're still wearing them. And as they all come to the Mass on this day, Holy Saturday, then it is the last time that they'll be wearing those white garments. And so the church wishes to teach them a lesson today, and that is this. St. Peter appears again in the gospel. And the church, by doing this, wishes to instruct the neophytes on the foundation of the church. Now, what is it founded on? Upon this rock, our Lord says, I will build my church. It's founded, you might say, on Peter. We owe him great respect and certainly our submission to him in all things concerning the faith, the holy faith. Now you notice in this gospel how the two, that other disciple, remember, who is that? That is Saint John. He's the one writing it. He doesn't want to mention his own name out of humility, perhaps. But in any case, he always refers to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved, or that other disciple, never mentioning his name. In any case, when St. Mary Magdalene had come and announced that our Lord was not in the tomb anymore, it says that Peter and John ran together. But yet, St. John arrived to the tomb first, but did not go in. He remained outside. And when finally Peter had caught up, then out of deference to him, he allowed Peter to go in first and to examine the linen cloths and the napkin and all of the rest of it. He examined it all, and St. John only entered afterwards. And he waited for Peter's answer on the matter. And that is how it is with regard to the faith. We must submit ourselves to Peter. Now, how does that work in today's day and age? Obviously, we have no pope, because the popes, ever since Vatican II, have not taught the same things as St. Peter, nor as our Lord or any of the other popes that came after St. Peter. They teach a different and a new gospel that leads not to heaven, but to hell. And it is a gospel of naturalism, of natural peace, a peace which only the world perhaps can give, but certainly they do not preach the peace of the true gospel. So, how are we connected to Peter? It is by rejecting the Vatican II popes that we give deference and show our respect for his authority to Saint Peter. If we were to accept the Vatican II popes, then we cannot be submitted to Saint Peter nor to his blessed Lord. It is that simple. If we want to be faithful to the papacy, we must reject the Vatican II hierarchy. It doesn't take much more smarts than that to know. So think of that. But there is another lesson today too. And have you ever gone running or been to a gym and lifted weights or done just about anything, any sort of game or recreation? You always want to do it with someone else. It makes it a little more enjoyable. Running is that way for sure. And so you have what's called a running buddy most of the time. And you might say that in today's gospel, it's the first time that you ever heard of two running buddies. Peter and John, as soon as they got the news, they took off running. They ran together, and yet one was faster than the other and won the race and got there first. Well, this is, I think, analogous to how we should be in the spiritual life. Remember for, I think it was Septuagesima Sunday, the epistle from St. Paul, I have run the course. And he talks about how the athletes would do so much to prepare for their race and try so hard and run just as hard as they could for a corruptible crown, and yet we for an incorruptible one. We should all have our running buddies in the spiritual life, you might say. Someone that pushes us on and someone that we can push on. When you get tired, you're on that last lap of the race. You just need someone to push you, harder and harder and harder until you've crossed that finish line. And that's exactly what it should be in the spiritual life. Peter and John, they pushed themselves to the limits. And you, if you be married couples, you should spur your spouse onto greater holiness. And then we ourselves, we should notice in others, we should look at others and notice in them whatever good quality we can. And sometimes we have to look for it. It's not always apparent. Sometimes people are downright miserable in our own eyes anyway. But when we look, we ask God for the grace to see the good qualities of another, then we will always find some virtue to imitate. Even from the worst of pagans, we can find a virtue in them, a natural virtue, to imitate. And we should always look for that. Or in your spiritual reading, always take at least one sentence away, one thought, or from a sermon. You can't remember it all. Well, just take one thought and contemplate it for a while. Turn it over and over in your mind, discuss it with our Lord, and you'll see that you'll make great progress in these little ways. And in your daily life, always try to be an edification to your neighbor, not only by your speech, but by your actions as well. And then back it up with your prayer, that they might always profit from your good example. And this is how we get to heaven. But think of the running buddy. And St. Peter and John, and how each of you will have someone that God has put in your life to push you on spiritually. And then you should be that to someone else as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.